Welcome back to another episode of Rob and Ted's Excellent Adventures, the first one in a while. I am your host, Teddy, and I am joined by my co-host,
Robert.
And it's been a while since we've done one of these episodes. Since then, the podcast stuff that we use has changed, so we're going to try to figure this out. But we also don't have a topic for today, which could be good or bad. And so, I don't know. Robert, do you have any questions?
Questions?
Just like, yeah, the randomest question.
No, ever. I think the my first thing I'd say is the last time we were on, we did a podcast. We were 3,000 miles away from where we are now. We were in Washington. Now that we need to talk about that, I'm just
putting
that out.
I feel like we have been talking about doing more Washington episodes. However, I feel like everyone who watches the show has now heard the stories. So, but, I mean, we could. Let's
we could also go into a review of our hunting season in Virginia.
Okay, let's do a brief recap of our hunting season.
I can do that real fast.
Ladies first.
Okay, so basically I got back from Washington on Friday, November 4th, and then I think 4 days later, I shot a deer with my muzzleloader, and then I hunted for most of the rest of the season and didn't see anything else. That's it.
Nice. Yeah, my hunting season includes, I'll just give a recap of the whole entire thing. I started in October with bow season here. I missed a deer. Then I went to October. Not October. I went to Washington.
Very different places.
Yes. October and Washington are different. I didn't know if you knew that. But spent like $1 million on a hunting license just to kill one duck. It was the most delicious duck I've ever had, though. And then we got back here. I hunted more, missed more, and then finally killed my first buck and my first bow deer. So that was it. And I mean, I'm kind of excited for the next one. I haven't really practiced my bow. I'm pretty busy. Yeah, Rob, why don't you close the door all the way, and then preceding that, tell us about just what you've been up to. What's like brief recap of your life.
Brief recap. I started school, at our local community college, and been marathon training since, you know, December. Or no, like, no, January.
And, yeah, I can tell you've definitely slimmed down a little bit.
And I will be hopefully going the distance this Saturday.
Wow.
In Charlottesville, where it is nice and hilly. So it was a great first marathon, and I actually looked it up. It's 26.3 miles, so it's 0.01, no, it's 0.1 miles longer than a regular marathon. So technically it's an ultra.
Ultra marathon, wow. So we're definitely going to do a podcast on that, probably.
One can hope.
One can hope, yes, indeed. That's pretty spectacular. I've just been working, basically, and doing school, because I'm behind.
What have you been reading?
What have I been reading? I've been reading my Bible a decent amount. I'm feeling confident that I will be able to complete the whole one-year reading challenge, which I've never done.
Tell me about that. Are you ahead? Are you...
I am behind.
Okay.
But I am consistently behind.
You are consistent.
By only like 28 days. And I've been kind of just every once in a while chipping off another day from that. Okay, so I'm just kind of sticking there, and, you know, I'm not moving. So I think... And I started it before... I think I did start it before the new year actually began, so I have a couple extra days, so I'll be able to finish before January 1st, basically, even though.
So since you started it.
So, like, I started December, I think, 6th, and so, like, if I want to finish, so that gives me, like, a couple extra days, basically. Gives me five extra days.
Okay.
To finish before the end of this year. If that makes sense.
Okay, so if you're doing it in a year.
It won't be like, if I did finish January 1st, it wouldn't be 1 year, it would be a year and 5 days.
Yeah.
But I can finish it before this year, and yeah. I'll have those five extra days. Yeah. But I'm feeling confident that I'll be able to do that. Other than that, at the beginning of the year, when I wasn't doing anything, had nothing going on, I was really big into reading Lord of the Rings, which we were just talking about how you need to finish and I need to finish respectively. And I have not picked up that book in a couple months. So I need to get back into that. It's just like, there is such a unfortunate and sad addiction to kind of my phone. I haven't even been on it much lately. Like, my screen time is like 3 hours a day, if that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, those 3 hours are all just distracting hours that,
yeah.
I mean, those 3 hours, what could I do in 3 hours? I've been getting my math done mostly. But like, I could totally read pretty good chunks of the Lord of the Rings in that time. Yeah.
What's crazy that I found out is, like, you know, you read 10 pages and you're taking off 100 pages every 10 days. If you read 20 pages a day, which 20 minutes a day takes about 30 to 40 minutes, you're reading 100 pages in 5 days.
You're a slow reader then. Because,
what's tricky is I'll be reading Lord of the Rings and, like, some days, like, it's clicking. Like, I'm like, man, this is great. Like, really getting it. And other days, it's just like, I'm reading words. And, like,
I need to really understand. What was doing really good for a while, even when I had work, and I just need to get back into this, is reading before bed. Because what I found is, and I kind of didn't believe it before, but, like, it made sense. I was like, I mean, scientifically, it's definitely healthy. But, like, reading before bed so that you're not on your phone and getting that blue light exposure or whatever. And it actually started putting me to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, legit putting me to sleep. Yeah. The second I put down my book and went to the bathroom, right? Mm-hmm. It was like immediate. I can just fall right asleep.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try that tonight. I'm going to make sure I get all my stuff done, and I'm going to just start reading and see where it takes me. But
one thing I think I've noticed is there's several types of rest. There's like, if you're watching, there's a difference. Like, if you are watching YouTube videos for 45 minutes versus reading a book in 45 minutes, you're resting in both of those scenarios. But mm-hmm. one is a more productive and more healthy rest. And that being the one, like, when you're reading.
Yeah.
But it does take some effort.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. And I'm going to add on to it by saying, as men, I think we're created to be productive, right? Just kind of in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I would say, and this doesn't necessarily disclude women at all. I'm not saying that, like, women just don't like being productive, because that would be sexist and misogynistic. But I would say men have a bigger desire and, like, an internal, like, reaction, a different reaction to it than women do in some ways. Maybe I'm just spitballing. I've never been a woman personally, so mm-hmm. I can't speak to this, like, from personal experience. But, like, kind of the rest I get from reading a book is kind of like it's a twofold rest. It's a rest for my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I'm not having to problem solve, right? That's a lot of what, like, working is for men, is problem solving. Right. And working is for anyone. It's problem solving. School, it's like your job, right? It's your problem solving. So it's a rest from problem solving, which is like the biggest umbrella that work falls under is problem solving, I would say.
Well, I'd actually disagree that I think as of lately it's been problem solving, but I think most work back then leading up to most was actually very repetitive and.
But it is still solving a problem. In a sense, I'm not saying like new problems coming about but it's like if you're tilling your field, right, you have this problem. If your field doesn't get tilled, you won't eat, right?
Yeah.
And you need to solve that.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not saying that everything is...
But I think there's a difference in that and, like, oh, I need to till my field to get that done. But then there's also the problem of what every company struggles with is, how can we be more efficient? How can we make more money by doing less work?
I love efficiency. Just as a side note. I can agree with that. But, like, when I'm reading personally, it's kind of, it is still that restful disconnect from my mind. But afterwards, it's like, even like if I'm reading the Lord of the Rings and I didn't like learn something, but like if you're reading a theology book and you learn something, right? Then there is that kind of gratification. There is that different type of dopamine release. And I think that like sometimes it's even better because like you'll be on your phone, right? And kind of at this point, it's like a guilty pleasure. It's like while I'm on my phone watching YouTube, it's like, okay, this is nice. But then after, it's like, I was just looking at my phone for 45 minutes and I could have done so much more productive stuff. Like mm-hmm. after one of the nice thing about books is it's like, it's a race. There's a finish line and you get that dopamine release when you get the finish line and you get that dopamine release every time you know you've gotten further. And then like with Lord of the Rings, there's like just so much fun stuff happening that like, for me, it is very easy for me to just put myself in the book. Right. And so afterwards, it's like, okay, I just had this marvelous adventure. Right. And also, I'm closer to completing this race of finishing this really long book.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, like, that's kind of a different, more restful rest because you know it isn't wasting. My time was not waste doing that.
Yeah.
However, objectively, watching YouTube, unless it's like learning about theology or stuff, which isn't my YouTube recommended right now. Is a waste of time.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, but I had another thought and it flew away. So what's on your reading list right now?
Like my actual reading list or like?
Like, what are you currently reading? Like, what are all the books you're currently reading? And what are like some of the ones that you are excited to, or you're really trying to get to, you know?
Yeah. Well, this week I'll be finishing the first book study book of the year called Worshiping with Calvin, which is exciting. I want to finish Lord of the Rings. I started that in June. And so I'd really love to. I thought I could finish it in 6 months and I definitely could have. Mm-hmm. I for sure could have. Like I think I have like 150, 200 pages left.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. So I definitely can do that. But I also have, you know, I'm in view of my bookshelf right now, and just in view, I see two books that were gifted to me that I haven't finished or I haven't started. I have two theology books, but I also have like on my actual like book list that's like written down. I have, there's another book that was actually given to me, actually, that I plan on going through with a pastor in the summer, The Silmarillion.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting until I finish.
That's not the book that I'm going to go over with a pastor, but that's a fiction one, Old Man and the Boy. Old Man's Boy, mm-hmm. or something like that. Those are the ones on my book list. I'm also, I think this summer too, I don't know, I'll have to look at, but there's another book that was given to me, Count of Monte Cristo, which I'll be reading with someone, and so.
Nice.
Those, but we'll see if I can actually get through them.
Yeah, right now I'm reading The Creedal Imperative by Carl J. Truman, The War of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
Chesapeake by James A. Michener, which is also a really good book so mm-hmm. far. It's very long. It's like historical fiction.
Yeah.
Pretty good, pretty long. I don't think I'm going to finish it by the end of this year. I'm really trying to finish The War of the Rings. I'm 11% done, so it's, and I'm definitely more than 11% through the year, so.
I don't know what. Yeah. I mean,
and then on my wanna read, there's like Mere Christianity, The Screwtape Letters, a book called The Mission of the Men and Me.
Do you have an audiobook list too?
I personally don't like listening to audiobooks anymore, just because I think it's more fun to tangibly read a book. However, that's kind of bitten me in the butt because tangibly reading books takes more time. Yeah. So,
well, my uncle said, like, you'll have people out there be like, oh yeah, like I read like 30 books a year, and finds out like, no, they were audiobooks. And like, I totally agree. It does not count as you've read the book if you listen to it. That's what I'd say. But well, if you're
technically
just going
reading the book is listening it with your internal voice. So,
well, I'm just saying, like,
you've absorbed the knowledge from the book. You just haven't
self-help books, or not self-help books, but like the like books that have certain ideas that like improve productivity, like where it's like, I'm just trying to obtain the information. I'm not necessarily trying to like read it.
Yeah.
Those are the books I'll listen to on audio.
Yeah. But I do completely agree. There's just a certain different type of like dedication. Like if you're, I would say anyone who says they're well-read, mm-hmm. or if someone refers to someone as well-read, I would say they're never referring to this person as like, yeah, they read 100 audiobooks.
Yeah. Or they listen to an audio. Yeah.
Yeah, they listen to 100 audiobooks a year, and that makes them well-read. I would say well-read is, like, someone who has disciplined so much that, like, their entertainment is reading.
Yeah.
Which I used to be like that, and then I got a phone, and it destroyed me.
No, I was thinking about that, too. Of like, I remember, like, we'd go through some books.
Yeah. I mean, I used to read myself to sleep every night. Like, that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
And, like, I honestly kind of miss that time, but it's, like, now, at this point, it's, like, I rely on my phone to communicate with, like, my boss and stuff, so I can't just get rid of my phone, and then, like... If you get a dumb phone, I mean, that's an option, but why would I do that?
I've thought about it.
I've thought about it, too. I've
considered it.
I mean, it sounds nice sometimes.
Yeah.
But other times, sometimes it's nice to just kind of get on YouTube and see what, see what good old Fire's up to.
My thing though with that, talk about YouTube things, like, I could still do that with a dumb phone. It would just have to be on my computer or iPad.
Yeah, sure.
Because I wouldn't get rid of those.
Well, I mean, I do have a computer, so.
But I think it's nice to be able to, and I think the biggest thing holding me back is like being able to do work mm-hmm. from my phone and being able to do like check emails and do stuff like that.
I would say there's definitely like,
and like look at my assignments at college, submit assignments, look at my
there's definitely pros
and stuff, and because it is like a mini computer.
There's just, phones are an addiction, they're a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a necessary evil in some ways. It's just like, I mean, there are some people who are really good at channeling, like, and making phones just a utilitarian tool to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other people like our uncle who he knows he can't do that, and so he just got a dumb phone.
Yeah.
And I mean... Good on him. But yeah. I mean, it takes a certain level of self-awareness and also a certain level of discipline to actually take the steps and move forward in that process.
Yeah.
But what else is happening? You have big news that
good. I got into this semester I was doing prereqs for nursing, mm-hmm. And I got accepted into that program today. And so these next 2 years, like, I mean, getting in was the easy part.
Yeah.
Getting in, like, is the easy part. These next 2 years are going to be a grind. And I'm really looking forward to what's after that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, looking at it as a means to be where I want to be. Because if I didn't get into this program, I'd be like, ooh, you know, now we got to figure out an entirely new plan and just set the...
Yeah. I mean, so in case anyone's wondering, cigars will be smoking tonight. Whiskey will be drinking. It's going to be a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about dinner. Robert's going to be the biggest, burliest nurse you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then we evolved the conversation into sexism.
Well, one thing, too, I really am excited to be able to do when I'm done with school and I'm working.
Is get married.
Yes, but also... jiu-jitsu. Like,
oh.
Because I've been wanting to be able to train jiu-jitsu for so long.
Goodness.
And, like, I've... There's been times where I'm... You know, I could do that over the summer. Or, like, I could do it at certain times. But at the end of the day, I feel like just saving that money.
So we had to take a brief break because, basically, our, actually, hold up, yeah, our oldest brother, Ryan, came in and had some, words for the podcast that cannot be mentioned, to say the least, so we had to, go and do some editing. But you were talking about saving money and doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I mean, I've wanted to do it, and I've always thought about doing it. But the idea that I should probably save that $150 a month, put it towards maybe buying a house.
Oh, yeah.
Sounded like a better idea, and I can start doing that when I'm
a
job. And
you're talking about saving money, and I guess we have like 10 minutes, if that, left in the episode, so... I thought I'd talk about my money crisis right now.
Okay.
If that's all right with you, and you can ask questions if you want,
mm-hmm.
and take over the show because you are the show. But a lot of people already know this, but I bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2004 Honda Civic. It's a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's been breaking down, at least once a month with an average cost of $200 to fix said breaking down. And it's been an absolute bear. And I did the calculations. I used to have a truck that ran into a tree, which that's our most popular episode is While I Am High, and everyone loves it. And that truck was great. The only problem was it got 8 miles per gallon of gas and had a 35-gallon gas tank, and this is when gas was $4 a gallon, so I was spending like just about $100 per week.
Per week.
It was great, but it didn't break down. And so I did the math, and this car is actually a very similar price to like drive and maintain because of that $200 bump.
Yeah.
So that sucks, but as of recently, the new thing is I hit a school bus on my way to work last Friday. Full of children, and it was glorious just in the way that everything happened and it worked out. And so
first off, because this is what everyone's wondering, how did you hit a school bus?
Okay, so the school bus, our street has two sub streets on it, and the school bus was at one of the sub street stop signs, and I was coming up the road and I literally said out loud, "Don't you dare pull out." They pulled out, cut me off. So I like kind of, I put my foot on the brake. They were still moving though. So I didn't like slam on brakes to get like super far behind them. Cause I didn't want to do that if it was unnecessary. And it turned out it would have been way more necessary, but I was so close to them because they had cut me off that they turned their flashers on to signal that they were getting ready to pick up kids. But I was so close that I couldn't see their stop sign come out. Apparently, school buses just don't have brake lights when their flashers are on. It's like you're supposed to be at a safe following distance, so you're supposed to just see it. I didn't see it, and so I kept slowing down because they kept slowing down. So I was slowing down, and then eventually they stopped, and I just kind of wasn't ready for it or whatever, and so I was not able to brake in time. However, I was going so slow when it did it that the lady told my dad she didn't even feel it. None of the kids were hurt. I wasn't hurt. No one was hurt at all. I went under the school bus as opposed to into the school bus because my car is low and school buses are high and it was on a hill. And I waited like 30 seconds in my car and, Then I got out and walked halfway up the school bus, and she came out and she was like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "I'm under you right now." And she was like, "Okay, don't move. We got to call the cops." And I was like, "Oh, lordy, lordy. I can't go back to jail." And
I can't go back on morphine.
I could totally go back on morphine. I'm not going to lie. That stuff was good.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm not an addict. Like, I don't crave it. However, if someone, like, was like,
offering you some of that morphine.
No. I want, like, if one of my friends was just like, "Hey, I got some morphine. You want to try it?" I'd be like, "No, that's an opioid. I don't want to become a bum." But, like, if someone was like, "You just hit a school bus. We actually need to take you to the hospital. Here's some morphine until we get there." I was like, "Hey, if it's in the hospital bill, then, like, I will totally indulge in some morphine." It was good. Sue me. But
I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
Hitting school buses full of kids. So I'm going to be going to court again. I'm not going back to jail again because I've never been to jail, but this will be my third time in court.
So let me get this straight. Your financial issue right now is that you have
a car that is sporadically running into school buses.
An unattractive hood on it. And
that breaks down. That frequently.
Breaks down.
And court costs.
You have court a costs. Court cost.
Yes. That's my financial issue right now. I'm trying to get a truck so that I can run over instead of run under.
I think that would be a bigger problem because if you hurt a kid, that would be.
No, I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be any more school buses. I will slam.
Never say never.
I will slam on brakes next time.
Okay.
Well, so here's the thing. Now I have this plan. Okay. I hate something that everyone might not know about me. I hate the public school system. I think it's the worst, like one of the worst things ever. It's pagan. It is turning kids pagan. It's turning kids gay, right? The city wires turn the frogs gay. The public school systems turn the kids gay. I have like, this is kind of joking, but I have an actual argument. We just kind of don't have time for that right now. We could totally do an episode though.
We could.
On how bad the public school system is. But my car, if you've seen it, like, it's really not that bad. The hood looks ugly. It looks like, it looks like your mom sat on it, but it's really not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so here's the plan. Buy a titanium hood. Okay. Have like five kids that are all good enough at driving. Okay.
Okay.
And then once they all turn 18, right? Or even before then, maybe I could do my siblings, right? And stuff. It's just before 18, you have to go to court for every time because you can't just do that as a minor. But
I don't think you can do that as
teach them anyone. How to safely run into school buses. What the lady told me is that school bus will actually be out of the fleet for 1 to 2 months because it needs to get re-safety inspected. But I didn't do anything. Like, it wasn't damaged at all because I just went under it.
Yeah.
And so durable hood plus multiple people behind the wheels taking out school buses when they can, right? If let's say theoretically you can take out 4 school buses per year before like your license gets revoked for just so many offenses, 5 kids, 4 school buses per year, that's 20 school buses a year out for 2 months. Which would make it so that the school has no way to transport their kids, right? Because that's like a whole fleet, probably. Yeah. I have no clue how many school buses Powhatan Elementary School has. It was an elementary school bus, by the way.
Yeah.
But we do that, right? And then hopefully, even before there's no more school buses, parents are like, "Oh, shoot. Our kids are being targeted in these school buses by these crazy Powhatanians, right?"
Yeah.
Good, take them out, homeschool them, right? That solves that problem.
But what happens when your kids are hitting homeschooled cars?
What do you mean?
I'd just like to point out
what do you mean
to everyone. We need a warning disclaimer that everything Ted says on this podcast does not mean I do agree with it. I agree with a lot of what Ted says, but do not put it. That whatever Ted is saying.
Robert totally agrees with this. He just doesn't want to
do it. I don't think hitting school buses is a good idea.
Well, yeah. Eventually, they'll, like, learn it's me, and they'll be like, "Kids, watch out. Crackhead Ted's behind us, and he's got a new hood."
No, they'll arrest you.
Well,
and Crackhead Ted it's going to be...
Can they arrest me for simply accidentally following too close a couple too many times?
Yes.
But can they, though?
I'm pretty sure they can.
I mean, sure, it's a repeat offense, but if five people are just kind of cycling through it, you know, they'll never...
Yeah, but if they have four hits in a year...
Oh, no, it'd be 20.
Per kid?
Oh, no. Yeah, four per kid.
Four per kid.
That's... They're just really prone to
and you do that buses. Every year?
School buses are such a big target.
I mean, but that's like the point. They're yellow. They're like trying to be, they're trying to make them as visible as possible.
I mean, honestly, all disclosure, I probably won't do this either because it would financially weigh on me and I probably would get arrested. However, it is a fun, like, theoretical, like, situation to think about because it would be quite interesting if we could take down the whole public school system by just taking out their buses.
I think there's more ethical ways to prevent children from being indoctrinated by the government.
So I completely agree with that. And like, and I would say, you know, it kind of has to do with like kind of building a whole Christendom, right? And post-millennialism,
mm-hmm.
right? Which at our church is not very much supported, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, I can't take a couple generations to get the school system out. I need to do it now, right? Just because of my situation.
That's a temporary fix.
What do you mean it's a temporary fix? You think they're going to just take their kids out of public
you're
school
taking out,
until
you're
I get arrested?
Out, you're gonna,
it, this is all a theoretical say, situation but, now. Okay, I'm not arguing. Wait.
Perfectly.
Disclaimer, I am not now arguing for the efficacy of hitting school buses.
Okay.
Let's just put that out there.
Well, but what I'm saying, though...
It's a theoretical.
If you did this and the theoretical came into reality and it worked exactly the way you wanted to...
That would be so good.
Congratulations, you just took out one of Powhatan's elementary schools. You did not dismantle the public school system in America. You dismantled one,
but I think the two. Okay,
maybe
it's
even
a
three
elementary school. But what? Powhatan has three elementary schools.
I know they have more than
one. Oh my gosh.
I know they have more than one. And so you
so
would
we
be...
will start a GoFundMe for
no,
court
don't say
costs.
We. Don't say we.
We will start a GoFundMe for court costs. And we'll get supporters, and we'll all just go. It'll be like a demolition derby. This is theoretical, so I don't condone this. Demolition derby with school buses, right? But not, like, organized. It's just go hit school buses. Safely, though.
Safely.
And this theoretical that I don't condone, just make sure it's safe. Because I would have actually felt terrible if I hurt a kid. But all the kids were just thanking me. Like, one kid rolled down the window and was like, thank you so much for making us late to school. Like, actually, thank you. This is the best thing ever. And I was like, you're welcome, kid.
I love how the school bus was picking up a kid of a guy who is a cop, too.
I don't think they were able to pick up the kid. There's no way they cut me off, right? And were able to travel that far. And they didn't. They hadn't picked up the kid yet.
But you were in front of
I was in front of a cop's house. And yes. The cop was super chill. He was like, it happens to all of us. I did it four times in 1 year.
No, he didn't. No, don't say that.
Well, honestly.
It does not happen to all of us.
It happens to the best of us, you know? It happens to the best.
Then I must be the worst of us.
You are definitely not at my level of...
Believe me, I know.
So I think that's all the time we have. That concludes this episode. Any final remarks, Robert? Besides, don't condone it. Oh my gosh.
Just don't forget. Just because Ted says something on this podcast does not mean I agree or condone what he says.
Just because Ted says something on this podcast doesn't mean Ted agrees or condones. Ted is a very in the moment person, you know?
I know. I'm just throwing it out there because I have a good reputation.
Robert has a good reputation. He fell into a ditch one time and
I got myself out.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
you called the worst crackhead truck to destroy the underbelly of your car.
Yeah, and I fixed it myself.
Yourself?
I did not take it to a mechanic. I had you and my dad fix it. But I was a part of that.
You were definitely a part of it. I will agree.
And so
I had a good final closing thought, but I completely forgot. So until next time.
Don't hit school buses.
Or do.
Or don't.
Don't hit school buses. Go read. Don't be on your phone.
Yeah, go read. Don't hit school. Yeah.
Read
As the public school posters say...
Read about hitting school buses. Read my biography.
As the public school posters say, reading is for cool kids.
Amen. Reading is for the cool kids. All right. See y'all next time.